Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, as I often say, some of my colleagues in the talk radio business, they look at Friday as a phone it in day. It's Friday. It's phone it in Friday is how they approach it. Not here. No. You deserve exactly what you're going to get. You are going to get a full dose of talk radio brilliance here for the next few hours before we hand it off to the great one, Mark Levin. In fact, we told you yesterday about this story. J. Christian Adams now revealing that he has uncovered dead voters in Pennsylvania. He's found the literal gravestones of these voters. And he is going to share that story with us coming up in a little bit. But right now, boy, you talk about starting with a bang in studio. You know him. You love him. And you might be indifferent about him, to be honest. But he's one of your favorite columnists over at townhall.com. He's a multiple volume author, including the upcoming June 7th volume in the Kelly Turnbull series. He is the one and only retired colonel from the United States Army, Kurt Schlichter. Kurt!
Hey, everybody! Here we go. Radio voice!
Just do a
voice.
How
you doing, man?
Just do a voice. You know what a radio voice is? It's a voice. It's just talk. Talk like you talk.
Hey, okay.
Now see.
When do we do the prank phone calls?
I need you to explain something to me, Kurt Schlichter. And as always, if you have a question for Kurt, question for the colonel, give us a call at 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL. Kurt, I have a big question for you. And I know you and only you can explain this to me, figure it out for me. I'm told that I have to really care about the political future of Liz Cheney. That the number three in the House, the person who was the chairwoman of the GOP conference, which I'm pretty sure every single person on television who is telling me that this is a big, big deal, couldn't actually tell me what the chairwoman of the Republican conference does, and now it's Lee Stefanik doing it. Why am I supposed to care about this story?
Well, you know, Liz Cheney and her new media friends raised the question, what if you gave a GOP civil war and nobody came? But of course, when it comes to wars, who's better than the Cheneys when it comes to not coming?
They don't show up for what? Now, well, hold on. This is very fascinating to me because you've got Nancy Pelosi defending Liz Cheney. You've got Rachel Maddow.
And they only want the best for us.
The last I checked, they thought her dad was literally Darth Vader. That he was the devil incarnate. But now, we must have Liz Cheney's voice at the table.
Yeah, but now she's useful. And what's the term Marxists use for people who are useful but not real bright?
That would be useful idiots.
That would be, there we go, Liz Cheney.
That would be useful idiots.
Who was number two at being number three in the GOP caucus. Now, he was booed out. And, of course, that just shows that we can't take dissenting views, although I was unaware that any political party should have as its leader someone whose sole obsession, whose only agenda is attacking that very same party.
Yeah. Well, now, so let me be I'll be the devil's advocate. Liz Cheney is does not like Donald Trump, thinks that Donald Trump damaged our political discourse over his presidency, and it reached an unforgivable point on January 6th, according to Liz Cheney. Mm-hmm. Is the issue that she raises here, the fact that she raises this issue, is that the problem? Or is it the fact that that's all she talks about and she can't somehow muster any criticism or concern about what Biden, Pelosi, the squad, and Chuck Schumer are doing to ruin our country? It's like that never crosses her lips.
You know, I'm a little more concerned about us abandoning our allies, about having inflation and gas lines to such an extent that Jimmy Carter's going, yeah, I'm not the worst president in the last 100 years. And
Biden makes Jimmy Carter look like Ronald Reagan at this point.
Oh, my gosh. And the Beltway cowgirl, her thing is, well, you know, I still don't like Donald Trump and his mean tweets.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're stupid. I don't want to live out your personal psychodrama because, Trump humiliated specious puffball Jeb, !, thereby defying the axis of mediocrity that is the Bush-Cheney dynasty. And I've got things that I'm interested in, and if you're not interested in them and instead you want to suck up to the Maddow demographic, then you can't be a leader of the Republican Party. You just can't.
So now here's the big question that I think needs to be asked. How did she get this gig in the first place? I mean, she got it after there was already a shift in direction of the Republican Party. We are told to abandon all of the new minority voters and blue-collar voters and union workers who all came out and gave Donald Trump the kind of support that they gave him. Yes, and sadly, ultimately a losing cause, but the support was enormous, bigger than any Republican candidate has ever gotten nationwide. And we're supposed to turn our back on that support so that we can keep Liz Cheney in place. How did she even get there?
I don't know. I mean, who is left who's a Cheney Republican? I mean, the Chamber of Commerce is gone. They're all Democrats. We're woke to corporations and how they suck up to the left. We're not for eternal useless wars, which the Cheneys are famously for. How does she mingle or coagulate with the present state of the Republican Party?
The fact is, and this is where Liz Cheney, you know, because I'm open. I do believe in a Big Ten. I disagree with Liz Cheney. But we probably agree on more than we disagree on. If she wants to be at the table and needs to be a part of that conversation, great, more the merrier. Let's focus on the things that we all agree on and change this country for the better. My problem with Liz Cheney and where she lost it for me was that one, there was a press conference and Kevin McCarthy, the leader in the hierarchy, was answering questions, talking to the press. And this reporter asked Cheney and McCarthy, said, this is a question for Representative Cheney and for you, Leader McCarthy, about something that Trump had just tweeted or said or put out a press release about or something that wasn't even related to what the press conference was about. And Liz Cheney at that moment could have said, you know what, we're not here to talk about that you're trying to distract us. I'm here to talk with Leader McCarthy about this issue that Republicans care about. But she didn't do that.
No.
Instead, she took the bait. She gave cable news exactly what they wanted, exactly what they needed, and undermined Kevin McCarthy in front of the media, in front of everybody. That's not what somebody on a team does.
No, you don't get to do that. Look.
Unless you've got another agenda.
Well, look, this is all revenge for the humiliation that Donald Trump and us voters wreaked on the Bush-Cheney axis of mediocrity.
It's really us voters.
Yeah.
I mean, she's really angry at.
She despises us because, you know, you're a bunch of insurrectionists. You're a bunch of knuckle-dragging normal people.
Right. The insurrection that she's talking about isn't what happened on January 6th. It's what happened in November of 2016.
Exactly.
That's what's still
because
the unforgivable.
Here's the thing, and I think Liz Cheney needs to understand that. This was a personal rejection of the Bushes, your father, and you. When we went out there and said no, it was because you're bad people who have failed at even the most basic tasks of government. And worse, I spent, like many of the people listening, 8 years defending George Bush and Dick Cheney from the most vile slander, the most horrible profanities.
Bush was Hitler and Cheney was Darth Vader.
Exactly.
We were there defending
and we defended
them, in that
phase. But they were too much of a gentleman to defend us.
Right.
And then they lose gracefully, as their kind is inclined to do. And suddenly they're friends with Michelle and Barack and Bill and Hillary.
And then suddenly, what were we fighting for?
And then they're trashing us.
Yeah.
And all we get, you know, I want George Bush to go away, maybe paint some more pictures of veterans who his incompetence maimed.
Entirely fair.
You know, I want Cheney to go on a hunting trip. I don't care what they do. They just have no place in our party.
Hunting trip. But use some pretty good trigger discipline if you're going to go on a hunting trip.
Well,
again.
Don't give him ammo.
No.
Just send him out.
Kurt Schlichter is our guest. If you have a question, 888-630-WMAL. In fact, Billy is listening in Nashville, Tennessee, because we are America's talk radio station here on WMAL. Billy, come on in here. You have a question for the colonel?
Hola, señor. Yes, of course. How much
is he asking
longer
in
he's bilingual. That's impressive.
I can't hear him.
Oh, you can't hear him? We do have some audio issues.
You must relay it to
me. I will relay the question for you. All right. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, the question is how much longer? I mean, how further are we going to go? I know they're listening to us. I know they're paying attention to that we're not the sheep. We're the lions, and we're ready to roar and attack. And they keep coming at us with cheapo stuff and meaningless things.
All right, Billy, listen, I appreciate the call. You're not getting to the question, and it's not even close to the question that you told Jen you were going to ask. So I'll ask the question you told Jen, which is what took so long for them to lift the mask mandate? Why? What is Jen? We were told that they're following the science, and the science is literally exactly the same right now as it was several weeks ago with regard to the spread of the virus. So why now?
Well, Larry, that's because you misunderstand what science is.
I do. That's true. Help me out here, Kurt.
Science, with a hashtag,
yeah,
is... anything that liberals want to do, cloaked in this academic intellectual argument,
right?
And
so
it has,
here's our agenda. Let's find a scientist to back us up and say we have to
do it. Find some stiff in a lab coat.
Yeah,
to come
put
out
him in
and
a white coat.
We got to wear a diaper on our face in a in a hurricane because someone 4 miles away might get a cough.
Yeah,
holy cow. See, I'm not doing COVID anymore.
You're done with COVID. Well, you had COVID.
I had COVID.
And you've
I
been vaccinated.
Right now, you
are the safest, most protected man on this planet.
The potency of my antibodies matches my entire
question. That
existence.
Word makes me very uncomfortable.
Back
to Liz Cheney for a moment, if we could.
How did you get that segue?
I want to get back. Trust me, it's a talent. This notion, and you're absolutely right, when I said, unless she has another agenda, I mean, she had an opportunity. She went on Brett Baer yesterday.
Uh-huh.
She went on our mutual friend Hugh Hewitt.
She did. I
listened
to that.
Apparently, Hugh still has a radio show. I had no idea. Good for him.
Damn.
Good for him. That's great. and both Brett Baer and Hugh Hewitt, in a very more generous than I would have been as an interviewer.
They were a very fair interview.
Gave her every opportunity to repair whatever damage was there, and she refused to do so. Which begs the question, what's really going on here? Is she and Adam Kinzinger and Mitt Romney, are they going to try to split off and create their little...
What, like a party of three?
Yeah, their own party.
A party of three?
Because they're not going to be able to change the Republican Party.
You know, a four top in a local restaurant has more people than their party. All right? I mean,
they got 100 people to sign a letter, Kurt. Now, come on. That's
huge. Did you recognize any of them?
No, I really didn't.
Oh, my gosh. The Assistant Deputy Undersecretary of Agriculture for Sorghum Affairs. He doesn't like Trump. Oh, no.
Sorghum Affairs.
By the way, when I worked on Capitol Hill years ago, I was in a bar somewhere, and I heard this guy make a play for a chick going, yeah, I'm Deputy Assistant Undersecretary of Agriculture for Sorghum Affairs. And, dude.
It worked.
He scored.
Yes. In this town, that's actually a winning approach.
And he's
that would not work in L.A.,
I don't think.
Hey,
Kurt, sorghum futures looking up.
All right. We'll continue in a moment with Kurt Schlichter.
Live and local, you're listening to the Larry O'Connor Show.
I think my favorite part, and I mentioned it, we played this yesterday right after the president made his announcement. First, Kurt Schlichter, explain this to me. The president yesterday makes an announcement saying, okay, you can all take your mask off now. I'm the president, and I say it's okay. He even tweeted it out. New rule. If you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. Do presidents do this? Is this a presidential thing, an executive? I didn't know that he had that power.
No, he does not, and I didn't ask him. Who are these people asking this desiccated old weirdo, this crusty zombie, what they can and can't do? I mean, let Grandpa Badfinger sit down and watch his stories on the TV. I'm going to do exactly what I want all the time, and that does not include wearing a diaper cinched tightly about my jawline.
Now, that said, again, you are fully vaccinated, and
well,
you
even
have,
if I wasn't.
You have antibodies from the COVID when you had it.
I'm very powerful.
Yes. All right. And then there was this part that really jarred me, and this is when the president yesterday warned people to not confront those who feel more comfortable wearing a mask. Here, listen to the president here. Oh, excuse me. I am so sorry. I'm in a different studio, and I forgot that I can't play the audio of it right here. I apologize.
I don't think anybody missed it.
But you remember this part where he said, some people are comfortable with the mask.
Some people
Please,
are comfortable with the mask.
Let's be respectful. Now, okay. I'm sorry. I don't remember in the last 6 months people behaving that way to any individual who didn't feel comfortable wearing a mask.
Well, you know, Mr. quote-unquote president, I was told that we are to confront loudly and aggressively in public people who disagree with what we have to say.
Yeah.
And I was told that by you.
Oh, that's right. That whole get in people's faces kind of thing.
I had one person get in my face.
About a mask?
Yes.
How did that end?
It ended FCC non-compliantly.
Let's not discuss it then, if we could. You're working. We just mentioned that you've got the seventh book in your series. When did you start?
Sixth book coming out.
Kelly Turnbull series. These are sort of a peek into the future about a national divorce, as our friend Jesse Kelly would put it.
America splits in two.
Right.
And Kelly Turnbull goes in with his Wilson Combat CQB 45. And Sharp Tongue deals with the leftist nightmare in Blue America, which looks a lot like California as it is.
Which is your home state, of
which
course.
Which is my home state, so I have a little experience with it. These were hailed by Bill Kristol as appalling.
Bill Kristol thinks your books are appalling.
He called them appalling, and is it true on the cover.
Is it true? Because we had you on the show to talk about that. This was two books ago, I think, when they called them appalling.
Yeah.
And so we played it up, and how proud you were. Is it true that the day we did that, and the day Bill Kristol called your books appalling, you shot up, like, to the top 10 on Amazon?
Oh, I got up to, like, 29 on Amazon with the last one.
So
if you despise these cruise ship conservative sissies, say ahoy to People's Republic and the rest of these books on Amazon. What better way can you give the middle finger to Bill Kristol, who, of course, has his finger on the pulse of America because he talked to a guy who parked his car and the guy who cleans his house and the other guy who cleans his house.
Let's leave the pool boy out of the equation now. Because
pool boy's busy.
Yeah, all right.
Pool boy's otherwise occupied.
So the sixth book is called Split. It's coming out in June. It's available on pre-order now?
No, it is not available on pre-order.
What's the matter with you? Put it up on pre-order.
I want to tease them and make them work for it.
All right. But pretty soon we'll have that book out. But people do love these books.
They love them. It's insane.
Shocking and frankly alarming as it is.
It's crazy.
They do love your novels.
People are like, Kurt, you're like a visionary. And I'm like, no, I'm a transcriptionist.
No, he's really not. He's really not a visionary. I am not a visionary. I assure you he is not a visionary. He's a good man. Kurt Schlichter, get his columns at townhall.com. Coming up, J. Christian Adams, Dead People Voting. Who would have thunk? It's Larry O'Connor on WMAL.